Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader. I'm a creative life coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Colleen van der Zijden as my guest. Join us for a conversation about Colleen's book, Courageously You, Magical Mind Games to Get Unstuck and Reignite Your Joy. Welcome, Colleen.
Well, thank you, Margot. It's so nice to be here.
I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, we'll have some fun.
Yeah. I have to say, I absolutely love the title, Courageously You. You got me right there. I was going, Courageously You, because that's, I don't know about you, but that's definitely been something I've had to work on throughout my life, is to develop my courageousness instead of being afraid to try things. And for a lot of years, I used to be afraid to try things. And it's, you know, it does take courage to be yourself.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, when I was going through titles, and I would ask my coaching clients, what do you think of this one? What do you think of this one? And courageously, mm-hmm. You always got people's action. You know, they're like, yes, that's what I need. That's who I want to be. So it feels right to me to have that be the title.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't even remember seeing the word courageously that much before this, but it totally makes sense. You know, you need to have courage to be yourself, and courage comes from your heart. So, you know, it's about following your heart as well. That's part of it as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the book and what it means to be courageously you to you.
Well, you know, when I think about courageously me and telling people to be their courageous selves, I always think about living intentionally as our true self, who we really are at our core level. And when I think about that, living intentionally, I think about wanting to react and respond with thoughts, that I'm not overreacting. I used to feel like I was a ball in a pinball machine, bouncing from one problem after another. And I felt out of control, and there was so much uncertainty and feeling powerless. And when I started working on myself and going on my adventure of self-discovery, as I like to call it, I realized I was different than that. And by being our true selves, that's who we are at the core level. You know, and we want to reveal that person who is inside us that maybe we didn't even know we had, and we might not have even known it was possible to live courageously as who we truly are. And we want to embrace that and recognize the positive qualities that we have at our core level. It's really awesome. And when we follow that and we're living intentionally, we're breaking through those old patterns. Have you noticed that so many people are feeling stuck these days?
Oh, yeah.
And people feel stuck in all sorts of stuff. And the Courageously You for my book is all about helping people break those patterns of feeling stuck. You know, we feel like we've stuck taking care of other people. We're stuck people-pleasing, putting everybody else's needs first. We're stuck trying to meet others' expectations of who we should be, rather than who we really are, you know, all those different ways. When we're courageous, we break through all of that, and then we make that commitment to get back to our truth and then live it.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be yourself, your capital S self, so I like to separate it, be yourself.
Right.
And love yourself and live your music. You have to know what matters most to you. And so many of us grow up as being people pleasers. I was definitely one for a long time. It took me, I was in my mid to late 30s when a friend finally said something like, I asked him, why did he marry his wife? And he says, because she lets me be me. And I thought, ooh, I need to do that. I need to be me. And but then all of a sudden you're going, but what does really matter most to me? You know, and you, like you said, go on a journey of self discovery, figure out what really matters to you, not just what everybody else has told us that we should Louise, I know. She wanted to delete that word from use in the language because it always makes you feel guilty or other people feel guilty. But yeah, what other people told you you should do or what they think you could do or what's possible for you. And yeah. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And how could you be happy if you don't know what matters most to you and you're not doing what matters to you in your life? You know, that would
right.
make you feel stuck.
Yeah. So many people are in a fog of unawareness, and it's not their fault because of the program and conditioning that we've had throughout our lives. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've tried so hard to fit in and belong, and that's why we become the people pleasers that so many of us
mm-hmm.
have been and are. And it is so interesting when we think about how this all happens, you know, that we put everybody else's needs ahead of our own, and we get stuck in that voice of the inner critic and everything, and then we end up feeling lost and we lose our joy. And then figuring out who we are can be such an eye-opening process because people, you know, they think they know who they are. Every now and then
mm-hmm.
I'll get a client who says to me, oh, yeah, I'm good. I know who I am. And I'm thinking, really? Because you're kind of miserable. So, really? and I'm thinking, you know, if we could just, people would open their eyes and go, okay, who am I really? But I had a story I think I'd tell in my book where I had a Sunday school teacher when I was 12 or 11 or something like this who said we shouldn't be proud of ourselves. And that became the source of an unaware belief in myself that I shouldn't approve of myself. I shouldn't be proud of anything I do. And that mutated into this horrible inner critic that told me I wasn't good enough and kept perpetuating the story that I didn't know anything, I couldn't do anything right, I shouldn't acknowledge my good traits, which ended up pushing all my good traits away and my qualities. And it took a long time before I finally woke up and realized I needed to know who I was. I needed to know those positive qualities within myself, and I
mm-hmm.
needed to be able to accept them. And so many people can't do that. You know, they can't look at themselves and say, oh, I do this really well, or I'm a good person, or I love this about myself. And that's
mm-hmm.
really hard for people to do. Did you have a struggle with that when you were waking up?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The thing is, you're right. I mean, people say, oh, you shouldn't be prideful, you know. You know, you shouldn't toot your own horn, they say, or whatever. You know, but you need to look for what's good about yourself and also to listen to your heart. And for me, a lot of what helped me with that was when I started writing morning pages back in 2001, beginning of 2001, Cheryl Richardson inspired me to read Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, and also to try doing 30 days of morning pages in a row. And I've still been doing them all this time since then, but it's helped me so much to know what really matters to me, you know. And I think that whether people take just 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, they need to have some time where they can figure out what matters most to them.
Absolutely. And it's important for them to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why it helps to have a coach, because then they have someone to talk to about it that's not going to be shaming them or telling them not to say good things about themselves. They're going to be saying, what is really important to you? You know, and start thinking about the fact that in order to live a joyful life, you need to know what's most important to you. Now, tell us about being almost annoyingly happy. Tell us about that.
It's so funny. I was talking to my fiance a few weeks ago, and we were just talking about life and everything, and then it came up, and he said that I was almost annoyingly happy. And I thought, well, that's interesting, and I just love that phrase. He did follow it up with that I am. He said to me, you are so you, and which I think is a great compliment. And
mm-hmm.
what that this is, this annoyingly happy thing, is I tend to be very happy person. And it's important to point out because I try to live my life from as much joy as possible. And when I go back before I woke up, before I went on my self-discovery journey, I used to be really stressed out. I was a major people pleaser, totally a control freak. I thought if I controlled everything around me, my life would be better. I was always trying to avoid being judged or criticized by other people. And that, you know, leads me to that ball in the pinball machine where I feel out of control and powerless in that reaction. And when, you know, when he said that, it helped me see how far I'd come and recognize also that my adventure of learning who I am, it helped me realize that I had more power than I thought in how I lived my life. I didn't have to react to things. I could be intentional in that way. And I also realized that the more intentional I lived, the happier I was. And I was back in my power. So that when I talk about like being almost annoyingly happy, because I just love that phrase now, it's so interesting because it does point out how far I've come. And also it shows other people that if they also are struggling and they're feeling stressed or out of control, feeling like their life is never going to get better, that it really can get better and that you really can get that joy back. You know, so many people don't think they can do that, and they really can when we're in the power of who we really are.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of the words personal development, you know, which I feel thankful that I discovered back when I was only about 23 years old, reading Wayne Dyer's book, Erroneous Zones, and also Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude by Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone, and then listening to Nightingale Conant tapes, and, you know, I just realizing that we can learn, we can grow, we can become more of who we're here to be. And like you said, is a journey of self-discovery. It helps you discover what matters most to you and how you can most enjoy your life and how you can live your life in a way that you are doing what I call live your music, which means to live from your heart and to do what you feel you're here on the earth to do. So, you know, everybody has the possibility that they can do it. They have to want to, and they have to believe they can, though. Those are, I think, the two things that they really need.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, and your book is full of stories that can help them realize that that's true. You know, I really enjoyed reading your book, and you have all these wonderful stories in there that help us learn from your life lessons and also from clients' life lessons. And it just, you know, reminds you of things that you can do to become annoyingly happy.
Yes, right. And, you know, and it is interesting because so many people want the how-to steps. And I always say I'm a how-to step a person. You know, I'm always saying, well, do it this way. So when I was laying out my book, the order of things, and as you know from writing your own book, it always changes as you're going. And trying to make it in order so that people could recognize that they do have the power to choose. They do have the power to create the life they want to have. And having the fun stories in here to show that, you know, the times I failed or the times I succeeded or how I learned from things or how my clients learned are so important to illustrate it. You know, it's great when we talk about something intellectually, but when you can see it applied, it does make it a little bit easier to get and relate to their own stories.
Yeah, and I also love the idea of learning from OPE, other people's experience, oh my God, it's the best way to learn. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I love reading books that are nonfiction by authors like you and a lot of my other favorite authors that tell stories about lessons that they've learned and people they know have learned. And so that we can learn from those lessons. And hopefully, even if we have to learn it the hard way ourselves in a way, maybe not quite as hard as it would be otherwise.
Right. I like to say that my book is a shortcut so that you don't have to spend 15 years figuring it out like I did. So this can get you there faster, to your own self faster. And, you know, it is funny because in my book, people will look at some of my magical mind games in there and then they'll go, oh, I have to do something? You know, people think sometimes it's just instantaneous. We understand that life will change, and they don't realize they actually have to take some action. They do have to do something, whether it's changing their mind or changing their physical action. They have to do something, you know, so people are starting to recognize that they are responsible for how they create their lives.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, some people, it's like they'll read through something, if they read it at all, read through it really fast and not do the exercises or not do the writing assignments that are in your book or my book. And then they'll go, well, I read it. My life should be perfect now. But no, it takes practice. It takes focus and practice, focus and practice. I keep hearing those words because it's true. You know, we have to focus and we have to practice. Speaking of the magical mind games, though, how about telling us a little bit about some of what magical mind games are and also how they can help us get unstuck and reignite our joy?
Yeah, you know, the magical mind games are kind of fun for me. These are strategies that I accidentally compiled or created as I was trying to help myself feel better, as when I had those unexpected, painful, or difficult challenges of life. Mm-hmm. And it was on my path where I was trying to be myself. I wanted to know who I really was. And I noticed as life was happening, I finally moved into the mindset of what can I do to make myself feel better? And after a little bit of time, I realized, and I'm talking years actually, after a few years, I realized I was not as stressed out anymore. I was not as controlling anymore. And I was actually so much happier. And at that moment, I again woke up to a new understanding that I had these mind games, these magical mind games that I automatically went to help myself handle challenges or to help myself feel better. Mm-hmm. Now, when I named them magical mind games, you know how we have mind games where our mind goes crazy and plays tricks on us?
Right.
So I termed them magical mind games because what we're doing is regaining control of our mind. And we're using the power of our mind to redirect and get out of the emotional turmoil and the chaos and get out of feeling stuck in things, being intentional in where our thoughts are going, recognizing when something is happening in our lives, we can use it as a way to learn more about ourselves. So the magical mind games in the book are helping people get back to themselves. They're also helping them handle their circumstances or challenges from their authenticity, so they can break through those barriers that keep them stuck in the pain and the stress and the self-judgment and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So the magical mind games I love to play with. And if people open their mind to them and say, you know what, I'm going to try it and see what happens. They're so simple, but yet create profound results, absolutely profound results, as long as people play with the games and apply them, just play with it without pressure on themselves.
Do you want to give us an example of one of the mind games, magical mind games?
Yeah, sure. The very first one in the book, and I'll just talk about that one first because it is the most important one in some ways. And the first one is called I Choose, and I tried to name them in a way that people would remember what they were. So what it is showing people they have the power to choose how they're experiencing their lives. And I used to be a big complainer. I would complain about everything, and I had a friend who was a bigger complainer, and I remember complaining about his complaining, and I'm thinking, this is insane. What am I doing? And then I decided one day, I was like, enough of this. And this is before I was really aware. I didn't really understand what I was doing at that point, but now I can look back and go, I get what I was doing. So I decided one day I wasn't going to complain anymore. I was going to make the choice not to complain. And so I'm a professional violinist, and I was performing in an orchestra rehearsal and concert that day. And I got there, and the person I was sitting next to, violins always sit in pairs, and the person I was sitting next to wasn't the strongest violinist. And it can be hard to play next to somebody who's making a lot of mistakes. And my typical reaction would be to complain about it. Oh, I can't believe I'm sitting next to her. I mean, she's not very good, which isn't very nice, but here we are. That's how it used to be back then. And so, but that was the day I decided not to complain. So I got there and I basically had a conversation with myself in my head. Are you going to follow through with your commitment to not complain, or are you going to go the other way? And I followed through with that. So I used my power of choice to say, no, I am going to continue with this, and I'm not going to complain about anything. I ended up having a great time. I had so much fun that day in that rehearsal. And it showed me the power I had in my choices. As simple as something like that, not complaining. What a big difference it made in how I experienced that day. I was happier. I had more fun. I could have gone the other way and decided to continue complaining as my norm would have been. And I would have been miserable. I would have been judgmental. I would have been mean. I would have been critical. And in all likelihood, it would have made my playing worse because I wasn't having fun either. So that is a really simple one. And what people can do with this to apply it in their lives is to describe their day. So if you get up in the morning and you go, oh, I'm so tired, you change it to, oh, I'm choosing to be tired. If you look in the mirror and you go, oh, I'm getting so old, I'm choosing to look at myself critically. So we can start to describe our day, very simple things. I'm choosing to worry. I'm choosing to eat chocolate. I'm choosing to take a walk, whatever it is. The trick here is becoming aware. We want to be aware of what we're experiencing in life. And then we do want to describe it to ourselves. It's increasing our awareness of what is happening in our lives. It's increasing our awareness of how we are in habits and patterns we don't even know about. And we also want to be increased awareness of our inner critic, how it's coming out. And what I always tell people when we play with this game is don't judge yourself for what you're doing. You're just acknowledging it. You're going to be objective. You're curious. You want to see how you're going about your day. And that's all it is. If people can do that one simple thing and recognize they have this power, they can choose, they can do this and not judge themselves for whatever they're describing in their lives, they'll make huge strides. And it helps them reclaim their power and bring it back to themselves. That's the very first one in the book. And that's, that's the basis for everything.
I love that. That's powerful. That is so powerful. And you're right. I mean, we have to be aware of what we're saying to ourselves and to others. And you're right. You have to choose. Are you going to just keep doing it by autopilot, or are you going to actually start paying attention to what you're saying and then choose intentionally what you're going to say to yourself and to others as well? Yeah, that was a really good one. Do you want to do another
one? It's a big one. Yeah, you know, another one of my big ones, I keep talking about this on my podcast a lot, is the one I call Check In. And we were taught in our programming and conditioning to please others, take care of others, particularly women, you know, be there for everybody else. We were not taught to check in with ourselves and ask ourselves how we really feel. We were never taught to check in with ourselves and say, what do you really want out of life? And so now all of these people now are waking up in the past few years, are waking up to they're not happy with how their life is going. They want something better. They want something different. But they don't know what they want. So these people are going off, and they might be coming to me as a medium or a psychic and saying, oh, tell me what I should be doing. That's, you know, and I might give them some guidance, but I can't really give them their own answer. They have to learn to check in and go, okay, what's going on inside here? What do I really want? Who do I really want to be? And that's what I had to do on my adventure of self-discovery, to figure out who I wanted to be. Did I want to be that complaining person? Because that's not very nice, you know, complaining about other people and judging them. I didn't want to be that. And so I checked in with myself, and I'm going, I don't want to be that kind of person. Okay, if I don't want to be that, who do I want to be? Well, I'd like to be nice. So then I can check in and look at my actions, my behaviors, and say, am I being nice? Is this really a reflection of who I am? I tell people when we first start talking about checking in with themselves, I said, check in with your eating. Why are you eating eggs in the morning? Do you love it? Is it your favorite food? Or is it just a habit that you've been doing forever? Do you really want those eggs? Are they great? Mm-hmm. Why are you choosing the clothes you're choosing? Check in with yourself. Is this what you want to be wearing? You know, what are you doing? Why are you picking those clothes? I always joked with people that I used to teach orchestra in public schools. And so on Mondays, I had fifth graders, and fifth graders have a lot of energy. And so I would wear like bright colors, like red, because it would give me more energy to handle their energy. On Tuesday, you know, I might be the same. I wear brighter colors. I didn't realize I was doing this, using the energy of colors. But when I started to become more aware and I was checking in with myself, I recognized I was using the color of my clothing to match the energy I needed. And by the Thursday, I had middle school kids, my 7th, 8th graders, and they can be tricky. I was wearing gray colors because it grounded me so I wouldn't react so strongly to their energies. And so I recognized when I was subconsciously checking in and didn't see it. As we start waking up to who we are, who we want to become our courageous self, to get that joy back, to help us understand who we are, we do have to check in. And it's so simple, again, but people don't do it sometimes because they're like, oh, yeah, no, it's too much trouble. And I'm thinking it takes 4 seconds to stop and pause for a second and check in and go, what is it I want? What is it do I need? How do I feel? What do I really want to say? Maybe I don't want to say that. I'm going to be intentional. And then you can decide how you're going to move forward. I love that one because it is a big one as well. Actually, I think they all are, apparently.
Yeah. I agree. We've still got 4 minutes left. So do you want to talk about one more of those, or do you want to answer what would you say to people that say, my life is too hard, I'll never be happy, it's impossible?
Yes, and that's an important one. You know, we can understand life can be difficult and challenging. Everybody has issues. Things are going to happen. But I don't want to waste my time here. And I always tell people we are alive at this time to have as much meaning and joy as possible. And if that's the case, even with our challenges and problems, we don't have to focus on them so much. We can use that power of choice and shift our perspective to what kind of life we want to have. We can start really thinking about that. And I tell people a simple way to do that is set that daily intention in the morning. How do you want your day to go? What kind of emotion do you want to have that day? Do you want to be happy? Get up in the morning and go, today is going to be the happiest day of my life. And feel that energy in your body. It's going to be the happiest day of my life. And what will happen if they do this regularly is they will find that their problems, they may still be there, but they don't put as much emphasis on them. And they can come back to themselves, and they'll start to find those happy moments. They'll start to experience more happy moments because their mind is now looking for them and are going to bring them to them. So setting a daily intention is a great way to shift that perspective. Get out of feeling, my life is too hard, I can't get better. My life was horrible, I think back years ago, and it's so much better now, and it all is because I'm working hard and playing with ideas to be myself as much as possible. It takes guts to be courageously you. You got to just go for it and be brave and do it.
Yeah, you got to, as Susan Jeffords said, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Exactly.
And I like to think of it as, I wrote about it in my book, as feel the excitement and do it anyway. Because, you know, really, if it's something that you want to do, there's excitement in there too. Well, we have 2 minutes left. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, if they're interested in the book, what they can do is go to my website, ColleenVanderZijden.com, and they can download Chapter 1 for free right there and get a head start on it, and they can try it out and see if they like it, and then they can go from there. It's nice to be able to do something like that. But also, I think the most important message is that this is a time for people to decide to claim their joy. They have it within them. It's already there. All they have to do is reconnect with themselves and be their courageous self, and it will come. They can do it. It is possible. If I can do it, they can do it. Believe me. You know, give everybody a little bit of hope, even if they have problems. You know what? You can do it. If I did it, you can do it.
I know. I love that. If I can do it, you can do it. Woohoo!
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you for writing your book, and thank you for being on my show today. And everyone out there, be courageously you. Be yourself, love yourself, and live your music. Thank you, Colleen, for writing your book and for being on the show, and thank you for the joy and happiness you're adding to the world by being courageously you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a ball.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. Bye for now, Colleen.
Thank you.
Live your music, everyone. Bye. You're welcome. Live your music, everyone.